Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. It's wonderful to be here. Before we do anything this morning, we're going to go ahead and pray because we do need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here this day. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be here today with us. I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with thy Holy Ghost. And I pray that as we sing unto thee, that thou would inspire us to truly give thee our hearts, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And I ask, O God, that everything we do here today would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. For we know, O God, that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee, and we thank thee that thou hast been with us, and we believe that thou wilt continue to be with us in each and everything we do. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in the chorus book this morning. If you can find your chorus book, we're going to go to number 91 and sing Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without we need him so much. In fact, why don't we go to number 84 in the chorus book and sing I Need Jesus, number 84. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him the storm clouds lower every day along life's way. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Storm clouds lower every day along life's way. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him when the storm clouds lower every day along life's way. I need Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We need Jesus, and thankful we know He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Praise the Lord, and He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So why don't we go to number 44 and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Number 44 in the hymnal. In the hymnal.
All because we do not care.
So good to us. And you know, I know who I believed in today. I know who our Savior is. It is the Lord Jesus. Let's go to that song we find at number 278. I know whom I have believed in. Number 278.
When my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord.
So thankful to know that we serve a God who doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why don't we go to number 290 and sing Yesterday, Today, Forever. Number 290. How sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Now, sinner, come and at his footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oft on earth he healed the sufferer by his mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at his command. He who gave his healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims his fullness still will give as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's
way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him. Hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his
the Lord. I am so thankful that we serve a God who does not change. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy goodness. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the sake of thy name. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things, for we truly need thee each and every day, every hour of every day, every minute of every day. Be with us and lead us, I pray. And I ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Diane has a doctor's appointment coming up, and she would like prayer for her eyes. So we're going to pray for her eyes right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of our dear sister Diane, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and continue to do a work in her life. Continue to touch her with thy healing touch. Let her feel thy presence, O God. And I pray, Lord, that thou would completely heal her eyes, Lord, so that there no longer is a problem. For we know that this is not too hard for thee. We know that thou art our healer, our wonder-working God, and that thou canst do all things. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with her. I pray that she would feel thy touch upon her. As she goes forth, Lord, let her feel thy presence. Let her feel thy compassion. Let her feel the knowledge that thou art there right there with her, Lord. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to be with her for all the days of her life. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what we're going to do now is something a little different. My sister Vicki has a song she'd like to sing for us, so we're going to let her do that right now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord. Well, that was wonderful. Glory to God. And what we're going to do now, of course, is something we do every Sunday, and that's dive into the Word of God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
It's always a wonderful and exciting thing to do, and I look forward to seeing what the Lord is going to show us today. I do have a couple of announcements to make before we get started. I just wanted to remind everyone that next Sunday we're going to be having our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. We like to do that the first Sunday of every November, so we will be doing that next week. And I also wanted to mention, we do have a new website specifically for the church, and this is something that we had been working on for a long time, and I actually meant to announce it last week but forgot, so I'm going to announce it right now. But we do have a new website, and to find that website, you can go to truthtabernaclewi.org. So that's our new website for the church. We have all kinds of things on there. There's a calendar which shows service times and upcoming events and so forth. There's even a picture gallery and a little bit about the history of the church. And we're going to be adding more things to that, but we do have it up right now. So you can go there and check it out if you want to. And we're really hoping that we'll be able to reach out to this town. And we're hoping that website will be helpful in that regard. Praise the Lord. But we are going to be getting started in the Word. And I'm going to call this message this morning, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear." The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. You know, we live in a point in history right now where everything could change in this country and in the world very, very soon. There are a lot of things causing tensions in the world. We have this election coming up, of course, and people are very worried. What is going to happen if Hillary Clinton gets in there? Such a wicked, evil woman. But I tell you what, the Lord is our helper. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear, because He is always with us, no matter what, no matter who may be in that White House. Praise the Lord. I'm going to open with a prayer before we get started in the Word, but we will be beginning in Psalm 30 to begin with. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy promises, thanking Thee, O God, for the knowledge that Thou art here to help us, O God. And I pray, Lord, that we would put our complete faith, our complete trust in Thee as we move forward in time. I pray, Lord, that we would be inspired as we look upon these scriptures, as we gaze upon Thy holy word. Inspire us, O God. Help us, O God, to seek Thee, to trust Thee fully, Lord. For we know, O God, that Thou art our helper and that Thou art with us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst truly help us to lay hold on Thy scriptures, on Thy truth, and to truly be free from fear. I pray, Lord, that Thou would lead, guide, and direct us this morning in these scriptures. I pray that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but let Thy Spirit have free course. And I pray, O God, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to be starting with Psalm 30 to begin with. And you know, there are so many wonderful things we find in the Psalms. Of course, we know that many of the Psalms were written by David himself, and he was a man who truly learned to rely on the world, on the Lord. He truly learned to trust God, because he went through a lot. You know, we will have trials, we will have struggles. David could attest to that fact, and we might get to ask him about that someday. But the Lord was always with him. The Lord helped him, and he realized something. He realized that the Lord is his helper and was his helper back there. And he is our helper today. And by helper, it means he helps us. That should be easy enough to grasp, shouldn't it? But Psalm 30, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. And you know, it is the Lord that keeps us alive. Truly, it is the Lord that keeps us alive. He holds our lives in his hand. And, you know, every breath we take, every beat of our heart, it is a gift from God. It is he who made us alive. But there's more than one application to that. Yes, there's physical life in this world, but there's also spiritual life. And he has given us that life, and he has given us that life more abundantly. He truly has made us alive and kept us alive. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, I think we've all probably had bad nights at one time or another, struggling with something, in grief about something. We've all had those nights, but you know, when you serve the Lord, joy cometh in the morning. When his presence comes upon you and you feel his spirit working in you, the joy of the Lord comes into us. And we realize something. We realize the Lord is with us. He is helping us. And when the Lord is with us and helping us, we have nothing to fear. Verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? David is saying, if I died, how could I praise you anymore? Would the dust praise you like I praise you, Lord? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Be thou my helper. David here is making a very specific request. He's asking the Lord for help. And we can do that same thing. And when we do, he does help us. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And we will. You know, that is a proclamation of faith. Giving thanks unto God forever. And we're going to be able to do that very thing when we get to heaven. Give him thanks forever and ever and ever. We will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be a temporary thing. It's forever. It is for eternity. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, that's going to be worth it all. We're going to go to another psalm now. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. People are very worried right now, and there are reasons for that. But you know what? God is our helper. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And he is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46 is going to tell us that very thing. Psalm 46, verse 1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. No matter what happens, no matter what may happen on this planet, in this world, no matter who they may put in the White House, we don't have to be afraid, because God is our refuge and our strength. And He is a very present help in trouble. A very present help. And we need that help right now. But verse 4 tells us, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh yes, there is a river, and it flows with those springs of living water that come from our Lord Jesus, His Spirit upon us, that river. Praise the Lord. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, yes, God will help His people. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And that's something we need to remember. We always need to remember that. No matter who's king, no matter who's queen, no matter who's dictator, no matter who's president, God is still God. God is still King of all. King of kings, Lord of lords. We are all subject to Him, everyone. And we're all going to bow before the Lord Jesus. So sometimes we need to remember that. Be still and know that He is God. And He will be exalted. You know, we got very wicked people in power right now. And the way things are looking, we very well could continue to have very wicked people in power. Worse than before. I don't know if anyone else has ever noticed that, but it seems like it gets progressively worse, doesn't it? I'm old enough to vaguely remember when Reagan was president, and of course, I remember Bush and Clinton and the next Bush and Obama, and each one was a little worse than the last. And of course, Obama was in there, has been in there for almost 8 years now, and people thought, well, I thought this myself, they couldn't possibly put in anyone worse than that unless they put that evil woman in there. That's pretty much the only possible candidate who would be worse than Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton, such a wicked woman. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I spent the last week writing a newsletter, which is here today, by the way. It's out now. We haven't mailed it yet, but we will be processing it tomorrow and mailing it out. But it is here and available now for pickup if you'd like to read it. And there's a lot in there about this upcoming election and about Hillary Clinton and some of the things that are going on in our world. But you know what? Through it all, we know that God will be exalted. He will always be exalted. There are a lot of people out there who don't want to acknowledge the Lord, but He will be exalted. And I love verse 11. Verse 11 tells us, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He is with us. Let's not forget that. We don't need to despair because the Lord is with us. And He always will be. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. He is with us. And we are going to go to yet another psalm. This time we're going to Psalm 37. Of course, human beings have a tendency to worry. We've all felt anxiety in the past. It's a common thing. It's a human thing, a very human thing. And we do have that tendency to worry, but you know what? That doesn't really accomplish much. Worrying about Hillary Clinton getting into office there in the White House, what is worrying going to do? Worrying about it isn't going to change anything. I'll tell you what will change things. Prayer. Prayer does change things. So rather than worry, we should pray. But Psalm 37 is a very encouraging psalm. It tells us some very important things. And I'm going to start right in with verse 1, which tells us, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So right away here in this psalm, we're being told, don't fret. Don't worry because of evildoers. There's always been evildoers since that very first sin in the Garden of Eden. There's always been evildoers, and there's going to be evildoers right up until the time that Jesus comes back. But we don't need to fret. We don't need to be worried, and we certainly don't need to be envious against the workers of iniquity. Oh, they will be cut down in due time. We can be sure of that. But we delight ourselves in the Lord. And when we do that, he will give us the desires of our hearts, assuming they're good desires. And they will be if we delight ourselves in the Lord. You see, that's how it works. People think sometimes that God has to give them every foolish thing they ask for, but that's not the case. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we will desire the proper things, the good things of God, and he will give us those desires. And verse 5 tells us, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Whatever may happen in the future, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. You know, Hillary Clinton could be the next president. All the news media outlets say she's going to be. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion for them. It's an assumption, or maybe they know things that we might not know. Of course, there's the big bombshell on, I think that was Friday, when it was revealed that the FBI was reopening their investigation into Hillary Clinton because they found more emails. And of course, Hillary Clinton is hopping mad now because she's going into a upcoming presidential election while being under investigation by the FBI, if you can imagine. But she is such an evil and wicked woman, and I do think that she has put mechanisms in place to ensure that she's president. We will see. Of course, God can change that too, but we will see what happens. And I tend to think that even with this scandal, it may not be enough to derail Hillary Clinton. Because if they've already decided that she's going to be in there, that's a tough thing to overcome, isn't it? But Hillary Clinton has said some things in the past that just are almost jaw-dropping. And I wrote about this in one of my newsletters a while back. This happened some time ago, months ago actually, but it's really startling, and we should pay attention to this because it applies to us. And this news article says, "Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton took a feminist tone on Thursday. She told attendees at the 6th annual Women in the World Summit that, quote, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed for the sake of giving women access to, quote, reproductive health care and safe childbirth. I'm just going to go ahead and read this entire quote because it's pretty amazing. Far too many women are denied access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth, and laws don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper, Clinton said. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed, as I have said, and as I believe, the advancement of the full participation of women and girls in every aspect of their societies is the great unfinished business of the 21st century, and not just for women, but for everyone, and not just in faraway countries, but right here in the United States. Now, isn't this something? She's saying that deep seated religious beliefs have to be changed. She didn't say they should be changed or we'll try to change them. She said they have to be changed. And she's talking about us. And of course, we oppose abortion with everything we have, every breath we have, because there's nothing more vile, nothing more disgusting. It is the greatest sin that this country commits. And you know, right now, Planned Parenthood is celebrating their 100th anniversary. They are so proud of themselves. I wrote about that in the newsletter. You can read all about it. And, you know, they had all these parties. They'd sit around and they'd eat cake. And they'd talk about their plans for the next 100 years. Well, we have a God who can interrupt those plans. But it's very sad. And here we have Hillary Clinton, a champion for Planned Parenthood, who's saying our religious beliefs must be changed. And if she became president, she would no doubt try to make that happen. But you know what? We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Because we serve Almighty God, and she will be cut down in due time.
Amen.
But you know, she made another statement. It's just bizarre. It really should make people stop and think. This was back in 2015 already, but this is a quote from Hillary Clinton. She said, "There's a huge fund deficit in America. We really need camps for adults. Camps for adults." I tell you what, I don't want to go to any camp that Hillary Clinton is putting out. I wonder what would happen in those camps. And when she says fun, maybe she's talking about fun for herself, but I don't think it would be very fun in Hillary's camps. You know, there are other governments in the past who have had camps for adults, and they were never a good thing, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But she is an evil and a wicked woman. So, I know people are very concerned about that, but the scriptures tell us, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And of course, she is an evildoer, but we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry, but just trust that the Lord will be with us. He will work it all out. And there are a lot of things that have people very concerned right now. You know, right now with Russia, this military buildup they have over there. People are wondering what's going to happen with that. And they're actually holding nuclear bomb survival drills in Russia right now. And it seems, this is a report from the Wall Street Journal, it seems that there's an expectation in Russia that there's going to be war. And I tend to think that if Hillary Clinton got in there, it would make war more likely, war with Russia specifically. And it's very interesting because if you look back in time and you see what led to this point, this tension with Russia, it all started in a place called Syria. And when did that happen? When did that war in Syria begin? The Ides of March, March 15th, 2011. And that's a war that has continued to go on, which could very well lead to the next world war. Only God knows. But it's very tense right now. In fact, I'll read a quote here from this report in the Wall Street Journal. Most people believe that the Third World War has begun, but right now we are still in the cold phase of the war, which may or may not turn into a hot war. And during war, you have to support your country's authorities. Of course, we know right now the controversy between the United States and Russia, by and large, is because of what's happening in Syria. We know that Russia is backing Bashar Assad over there, and that the United States is trying to overthrow him. So they are at odds. And there's another report that Russia is planning a large military operation in Syria the day before the election. And it's very interesting that all of this is happening right now while everyone's distracted by this election. And they have a new bomb, a new nuclear bomb, which they say could easily knock out an area the size of Texas or France. And the nickname for this new nuclear bomb that Russia has is Satan 2. That's the nickname they gave it. So things are quite tense with Russia. And then I saw a report. It says NATO squares up to Putin as Russia beefs up its military might on Europe's border. West responds with biggest show of force since the Cold War. Russia's military escalation on Europe's border has triggered the West's biggest show of force in the region since the Cold War, as NATO continues to square up to Vladimir Putin. Britain is to deploy troops, tanks, and jets to Estonia to deter Russian aggression, while UK and Romanian forces will also join a US battalion in Poland. As part of the biggest military buildup in Eastern Europe since the Cold War, RAF planes are also being dispatched to patrol Romanian airspace for the first time. Boy, you know, that sounds like things that happen right before war starts, doesn't it? So these are things that are definitely concerning, because there are evildoers out there, wicked people doing wicked things. But I want to encourage all of you today that no matter what happens, we can put our trust and our hope in the Lord, and we don't have to fret. Oh yes, we need to know what's happening in this world. We need to know what's going on, but we don't have to fret. Going back to Psalm 37, why don't we look again at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And didn't Jesus say that the meek would inherit the earth? Of course, we know that we are going to inherit an earth. Not this one, but a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Oh yes, they plot. They're plotting right now. They've been plotting for a long time. But verse 13 tells us the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Their day is coming, folks. Hillary's day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Praise the Lord. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You know, even if I didn't have what I've got, I wouldn't want what they've got. And it may seem like they have so much, so many possessions, so much power. But they're going to lose it all. But what we have, those promises from the Lord, that promise of eternal life, no one can rip that away from you. No one can rip that away from you. God's promises are sure. Verse 17, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." Oh yes, He will uphold us. "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Oh, praise the Lord. That's exciting. That should excite us. Our inheritance is forever. Forever. "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." You know, we do struggle sometimes. Sometimes we might stumble a little bit, but the Lord is always there to give us his hand, to pull us up, to lift us up. Verse 25, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore." If you want to dwell evermore, you have to depart from evil and do good. We have to repent of our sins. We have to seek the Lord. We have to obey his commandments. When we do that, then we can dwell forevermore. But we must depart from evil. "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever." Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't forsake his saints. He doesn't forsake his people. He's not going to forsake us. Oh yes, there's a lot wrong in the world, but he's not going to forsake us. They are preserved forever. "But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him," or perhaps put them in camps. "The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." Watch this now, verse 40. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." We don't have to fret. We don't have to fret and worry about the evildoers, the wicked, all their plans, all of their plots. We don't have to fret, because the Lord is our helper. And verse 40 tells us the Lord is going to help us. The Lord is going to deliver us. The Lord is going to save us. Why? Because we trust in him. Our trust is in the Lord. No matter what they may try to do, no matter what the future may hold. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to go here because human beings do have that tendency to be afraid. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling inside us to override that human tendency, to override that sense of fear that we sometimes have. Oh yes, there are things to be afraid of, but we don't have to be afraid because we serve the Lord. We put our trust in Him. We know His promises are sure. We know when He says He'll do something, He will do it. And He has not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're ever feeling fearful, if you're ever feeling afraid, just remember, that did not come from the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I like that already. In verse 1 it talks about the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And we do have that promise of eternal life. It comes from the Lord Jesus. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, someone he had a lot of love and affection for, great respect for Timothy, but he's writing this letter to remind him of some very important things. And one of those very important things that he's reminding Timothy of is something we all need to be reminded of. In verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You see, when you fear the Lord, when you respect the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear anything else when you fear the Lord. And He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. The Holy Ghost is never going to make you afraid. And we find great boldness when we are filled with His Spirit. He gives us great boldness to go out and proclaim the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the majesty of our King, the Lord Jesus. He fills us with His Spirit, with His power, with His love, and He gives us a sound mind. He doesn't make us afraid. He doesn't make us fearful. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus abolished death. He overcame death, and He did it for us. And because of that, we too have the promise of eternal life because of what He did for us. And He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That Holy Ghost that dwells in us, that Spirit of God that dwells inside us, when we have that Spirit, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because that Spirit of God is not the spirit of fear. That Spirit of God is not the same as our human tendencies. And that's how we overcome fear, by being filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. But this is a wonderful chapter, and in this chapter, Paul reminds Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but rather he has given us the Holy Ghost. And when you have the Holy Ghost working in you, you don't have to be afraid. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a chapter I was going back and forth on whether or not to go to today, and I think we will because we have time for it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. How do we overcome fear? Well, we look to our helper. And we're filled with his Spirit. When we have that Spirit in us, we no longer have to be afraid of anything. Praise the Lord. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." Oh yes, we see that spirit of Antichrist out there. There are many Antichrists out there. Barack Obama's an Antichrist. Hillary Clinton is an Antichrist. A lot of these politicians are Antichrist. World leaders are Antichrist. The Islamic world is full of Antichrists. Anybody who denies the Lord Jesus is an Antichrist. So there are a lot of Antichrists out there right now. Verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We can overcome because the Lord is with us. We don't have to fret because of the evildoers, because the Lord is with us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Verse 5, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Those people who don't know the Lord, those people who are Antichrist, those people who refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus, they can't hear. They don't know the spirit of truth. What is the spirit of truth? It's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Comforter. We can read about that in John chapter 14. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. It is the Comforter. And we have that Spirit of truth, but they have the spirit of error. Verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh, praise the Lord. We owe him so much, and yet it's a debt we could never pay. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He came to save us, to atone for our sins, to pay the price, to remit our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. God dwells inside us. Just think of that. The very Spirit of God dwells inside us. And when you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside you, you do not have to be afraid. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. He gives us boldness, because when you don't have fear, you do have boldness. Boldness to proclaim the goodness of God. Boldness to proclaim the gospel. Boldness to reach out to the lost. But verse 18 tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh yes, if we could just fully embrace that Spirit of God that comes to dwell inside us, that Holy Ghost. Let God be first and foremost in our lives. Let God lead, guide, and direct us in all things. We don't have to be afraid anymore. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but rather he has filled us with his Spirit. But there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You want to know how to overcome fear and not be afraid? Be filled with the Spirit of God. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And that should be pretty simple and straightforward. Yes, we are to love one another. We are called to do so. And I want to go to one final place in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And it almost seems like a continuation of what we just read in John, in 1 John. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to start with verse 1. And verse 1 of Hebrews 13 tells us, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You just never know sometimes. There have been times when God's angels have ministered to people and helped people, and nobody even knew that they were angels. But it does happen sometimes. And God does watch out for his people. And sometimes he'll send angels to do that very thing. But he is our helper. He is our God. He's not going to forsake us. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And unfortunately, quite sadly, there are a lot of those kinds of people in this world today. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's not going to leave us, folks. He's not going to forsake us. If Hillary Clinton goes into that White House, if she sits in that Oval Office, God still isn't going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, that is a wonderful, wonderful verse. The Lord is our helper. We read about it in the Psalms, and we know it to be true. And he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love, and of a sound mind, and of peace. So we don't have to be fearful, because we have the Lord, and he is our helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I just kind of marveled, because yesterday I went to the park. You know, a lot of times I'll do that on a Saturday. I'll drive over to the park and sit by the lake and read my Bible and try to get ready for the Sunday message. And I enjoy doing that. And it was there that I read these verses in Hebrews 13. And, of course, then I went over to the office and printed CDs like I always do. And that was the title that the Lord gave me for this message. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. And I was really amazed, because I went home, and when I got home, I turned on my computer and got on Facebook, and there was a woman who posted on Facebook scriptures, and the scriptures she posted were those in Hebrews chapter 13 that I just read. Which, you know, that's amazing. Just another confirmation from the Lord that that's exactly where I was supposed to go today. And I know that the Lord is our helper. And when he helps us, when we know he is with us, when we know that he will never leave us or forsake us, we don't have to be afraid. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. He's with us now and forever, and he is our helper. The Lord is our helper, and I will not fear. We don't have to be afraid. And I am so thankful for that understanding from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for thy scriptures. We thank thee, O God, for thy comfort. We thank thee for thy spirit which dwells inside us. We thank thee for being set free from fear. And I pray, Lord, that we would fully embrace thee, embrace thy word. I pray that thy spirit would dwell inside each and every one of us. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Set us free from the world. Set us free from fear. And I pray, Lord, that thou would lead, guide, direct us in all things. I pray, O God, that we would be mindful of thee each and every day. I pray, O God, that we would meditate on thy scriptures and pray unto thee and ponder thy will, Lord, in these dark days ahead. For we know that thou art our helper and that thou art with us. Continue, O God, to be with us, I pray. For we know that thou hast promised that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray, Lord, that thou would just help us, continue to help us as our helper, as our Savior. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to close with a chorus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to number 151 in the chorus book. Be still and know that I am God. Number 151.
still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and exalted among the heathen, he will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. Exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Still and know that God is God. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.